you have your Bibles, let's open them just for a few moments to the book of Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy chapter 1. Are we good on this in the back? Mark, Paul, sounds good? All right. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I want to speak on one word tonight, one word. I think it'll help us as a church and us as individual Christians. Where's the guy with the cane? Where's he? On the front row. Good. All right. Someone help him, would you please? All right. Now, he's going to be healed. We were going to have a healing service that we're going to try it in the Spanish service. They looked at Ethan and said, I don't think we can do it. So we may do it at the end of the service. We'll have him come up on the platform like TV and throw his cane away and fall down and then pick him up. So 1 Timothy chapter number 1, 1 Timothy 1. And that's a great, great book here. I just love Timothy. And so here we go. Well, let's have a prayer, and then we're going to look at this one word that we'll talk about tonight. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your blessings upon us. Thank you for the riches of having a copy of the Bible in our language. Help us never get over the joy and the thrill of having the written God's Word. I pray that we'd listen tonight as if you were speaking to us directly. Help us to put away the cares of the day and the worries of tomorrow and the stress and the distractions that you would help us. We all need this truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Notice the name of the book here, Timothy. Timothy is a disciple of the Apostle Paul. The person writing this book, 1 and 2 Timothy, is the Apostle Paul. A little review, you know the story. Paul, the Christian persecutor. Paul, the Christian murderer. Paul, the educator. Paul, the religious zealot, but God saved him and changed him. The most unlikely person to even be a Christian, much less write part of the Bible, is the Apostle Paul. Many of the letters he writes to local churches he started in the book of Acts. Acts is the action of the Holy Spirit through the disciples, and you'll see different cities where churches were started. People got saved, people got baptized. They started assembling. He sent them a pastor. He moved on. But a few of the books in the New Testament are letters by Paul written to individuals. Philemon, Titus, and then Timothy. Who was this Timothy? What does he say is the most important thing in the life? Notice here, just by way of introduction, it says in 1 Timothy 1, Paul says right up front in verse 5, now the end of the commandment. In other words, here's what the Christian life is all about. Charity or love out of a pure heart. Loving God, loving people, unmixed. It's pure, with the right motive. No back and forth, no double-mindedness. Just loving God with total abandonment, loving people. Love out of a pure heart, second, and of a good conscience. That means nothing between you and the Lord. Nothing between you and anybody else. No guilty conscience. Nothing hidden. And then he says, of faith unfeigned. The word feign means faked. So he says, not faked or faith that's real. Faith that God will reward what I do for him if I see it or not. I trust he's going to do it. So everything we do is by faith. You came to church tonight by faith. You tithed today by faith. You lived right by faith. You're trying to raise your kids by faith. You pray, not seeing the answer, but it's all by faith. And so he said, this is the key. And then if you'll flip over a little further, and we'll see more about Timothy, 2 Timothy, and looking down into verse chapter 1, 2 Timothy chapter 1, all by introduction, and we're going to give you the word we're going to speak on. Good job tonight, Brother Brett. 2 Timothy chapter 1, and looking in verse 5, who is this Timothy? He says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, Paul is talking to Timothy, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois. So Paul even knew Timothy's grandmother and knew her name, and thy mother Eunice. And I am persuaded that in thee also. So we see that Timothy, and later on it says in one of the verses that he was converted to Christ because of the Word of God when he was young. And so Paul here is speaking to this convert, Timothy, And he says, Timothy, you have a wonderful heritage. Your grandmother was a godly woman. Your mother was a godly woman. You're a godly young man. Now stop here, time out. When did they meet? In the book of Acts, you'll see that in Acts 14, Paul is stoned at Lystra. I believe he was killed. He was brought to heaven, looked around. God says, I'm just going to give you a vision of it because you've got a lot to go through. Now go back. Because it said he was stoned. No one lives a stoning. And so later on, he rose up. I believe God raised him from the dead. That's chapter 14. Guess when he meets Timothy? Chapter 16. So here it is. Paul went through some major tough things. Then he influenced one of the greatest people he would ever influence two chapters later. What's that mean to us? Here it is. As we go through trials, sometimes the greatest act we'll ever do will be after we get through that trial. Amen. So that's why it's so important to get through them. There's a Timothy on the other side of the stoning. Right. Hey, just going through a tough time. It's over. No, it's just starting. It's on the other side. And so here's Timothy. So this timeline here. Now, with that in mind, I want us to see the key word that Paul brings out here. And notice, if you will, in chapter number 2 of Timothy, 2 Timothy 2, and look down, he introduces these key words. Now, if you have dates in your Bible, at the top of your page, it'll say A.D. 66. And so B.C. is before Christ. A.D. is not after death. I always thought, well, that's easy, A.D. after death. It's Anno Domini. It means in the year of our Lord or the birth of our Lord. So 66 would be the year 66. And so if Jesus died 33 years into his life, it would have been 33 years after the death of Christ. All right, you have it? So Jesus was crucified 33 years later. Paul writes this book of Timothy, 2 Timothy. He's writing it to an individual, young Timothy. This is the last book he would ever write. This is when he's in prison. This is when he ends up saying, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. Henceforth, there's laid up a crown for me. I'm done. I'm finished. I'm pulling up stakes. I'm about to die. And he's killed after this book. And so you say, well, what's all that mean? It means he's got some heavy advice to give. He's in prison telling young Timothy, the pastor. He says, now, Timothy, let me give you some advice. I'm going to be martyred in prison. Here's my advice. Here's the word. Here's the word we'll give you tonight. 2 Timothy chapter 2, and looking down into verse number 3. 2 Timothy 2, 3. Therefore, here it is, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. He keeps going. Look down in 2 verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things. How come? For the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. Paul said, you need to endure some hard things. He says, I've endured some hard things so people could be saved. And then if you'll look just a little further down in chapter 3 and verse 11. Chapter 3, verse 11, Paul's in prison. He says, persecutions, afflictions, which came to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions? Look at this. I endured. So Paul is saying, hey, Timothy, it's not going to be a recreation game. It's a fight. It's a battle. He says, you're in a race. He says, be a good soldier. He says, war a good warfare. No one said it's going to be easy. It's going to be tough. I'm in prison. I'm going to die. He says, get ready. Firm up. Endure. That's what he says. And then we see also in chapter 4 and verse 5. Look over here. He just keeps repeating this word. Must be important. Chapter 4, verse 5. He says, but watch thou in all things endure afflictions. Persecutions, afflictions, trouble, a lot of them kind of blend together. Some are people, some is physical pain, some is people opposing the Christian life. He says there's going to be all kind of obstacles. He said, yeah, you're going to have to endure. going to have to endure. Read a book years ago by Warren Wiersbe, and this little boy and girl were going to climb a big tall mountain, and you don't just climb the mountain. You know, first there's some hills leading up to it, and so the little boy was complaining. He says, "These hills are hard." And the little girl looked and smiled and said, "The hills are what you climb on." And I got to thinking, in the Christian life, sometimes the hills look hard, but the hills are what we climb on. In the Old Testament, it was Elisha that said, I'd like to have twice the spirit that you have, Elijah. Elijah looked at him and said, "Thou hast asked a hard thing." So what's God saying to us as Christians? Do the hard thing. Endure the hard times. Endure the hard people. Endure the hard situations. No one ever said it would be easy for a pitcher to throw a no-hitter. No one ever said it would be easy, if you've ever been bowling, to bowl a 300. How many 300s out there? Put your hand down. If we added all the games you've ever bowled together, it might be a 300. I still remember I was speaking to a bunch of college kids years ago at a place called Tehachapi outside of Lancaster. It was called a sequester. All these single college students, they rented out the bowling alley. And when you're the speaker at something like that, you're on the hot seat. You know, you have to be Mr. Athlete, Mr. Bible. I mean, you have to know everything. Here's all these college kids. "Are you going to bowl, Pastor Ray?" "Yeah, yeah, I guess so." "Well, bowl on our lane." And so I get the ball. I start to bowl. Everything stops. They're watching me. You know, gutter ball. And so I've got the form, and I've got the borrowed ball. I don't have the glove, and, you know, I do all this. And, you know, I've got that thumb going up. Wherever your thumb goes, it's supposed to land back on your shoulder. That means it's straight. You know, the little arrow. You know this, right? They taught you this. The little arrows you adjust if you're going this way. And you adjust. Now, anyway, first ball, strike. Whoa. I said, "Thank you, Lord. You made me look good." Get the next ball. I come out, and here we go. Second ball. Everybody's kind of watching. Strike. Whoa. I said, "Look at this." Get the next ball. I said, "Come on, Lord. Please don't. Please not strike to gutter." Here we go. Next ball. Strike. Three in a row. Whoa. Four in a row. Five in a row. About that time, three students come up, and they say, "Pastor Ray, we're thinking about the sermon you preached. We don't think we're saved." And they weren't messing with me. I mean, it was sincere. I could name the guys. And I said, "I mean, I got six strikes, Brother Bob. Here's three guys. Man, you know, we don't think we're saved." I looked at them and said, "You look saved to me." And I bowled again. I got seven strikes in a row. I get the ball. Now they're weeping. I said, "Come on, man." We sit down and get the New Testament, go through the gospel. They get saved. I said, "Boy, that's great. There's my ball." I get up as the lights start shutting out and they close the bowling alley. My first question in heaven: would I have bowled a 300, Lord? It's not easy. Brother Schulte broke some ribs. He had a fall this week. He's listening online tonight. I'd not been here long, and we were going to do a bowling activity over at the Napa Bowl. And so he says, "Pastor, it's you against me." I said, "Brother Schulte, I don't want to compete. Man, I'm just going for fun." He goes, "No, it's you against me." He is in bowling leagues, had the glove, had his own ball. I said, "Brother Schulte, I don't want to compete." He said, "We're betting a soda. We're betting a..." I said, "I don't bet." He said, "We're betting a soda. You know, whoever wins, got to buy the other guy." I said, all right, Brother Schulte. I said, "Come on, Lord." I get up. I kid you not. Seven strikes, three spares. I did not have one open frame. I bowled a 255. Brother Schulte looked at me and said, "Is this like normal?" I said, "This is the greatest game I've ever bowled." So sometimes we look and see how hard some of these activities are. It's hard to earn a Super Bowl ring. Look around town. How many times have you... that guy's got one. That guy's got one. Yeah, he's got one. You hardly ever see anybody with a Super Bowl ring. It's not easy. Yeah, that's right. You don't see people walking around town with gold medals from the Olympics. "Oh, I won one, and she won one, and I won one." You hardly ever meet anybody. It's a rare thing because it's hard. And Paul says that, "Timothy, just because you're in the ministry, just because I invested in you, I'm in prison, life is hard. And at this time in history, they were beheading Christians. They had killed John the Baptist. Jesus had been crucified. Paul had been stoned. Stephen had been killed. It was a volatile time at this time in history. And he's just saying, Timothy, it's not going to be easy. Are you okay with that?
Amen.
That's what he's saying.
Amen.
What does the word endure mean? It means to remain firm under. Here's this load, but you're staying under the load. You're not throwing the load down and run. You're okay, here's the load God's given me. Endure.
Amen.
It means to have misfortune without yielding or quitting. It means to continue without changing. It means not giving in. Handle it. Bear it. Take it. Oftentimes I'll get around veteran Christians who are older than me, like Brother Johnson, Brother Mike Johnson, people like that. And I'll ask them, I'll say, what's the hardest thing God ever got you through? Because I want to hear it. I want to hear, what was the toughest thing you ever had to endure for the Lord? Because that's going to help me.
Amen.
They had a ship that was taken out years ago. You can Google it, look up all the exact wording. There was an explorer named Ernest Shackleton. And he wanted to be the first to walk across the South Pole. He had a special ship that he bought and had built and modified. He ran an ad in the paper and it just basically said, "Want adventuresome men, little pay, long hours, may never return. Fame." He had so many applicants, he had to wade through them, only took so many. They took their ship, it was called Endurance.
Amen.
Through the icy sea, it finally got stuck in the sea. The ice sea started closing in on the ship, crushing the ship. They just found it this year, the bottom of the ocean, perfectly intact.
Whoa.
They had to take all the dogs for the dog sleds off, all the crew. Shackleton went to rescue them. Not a man was lost. There's all these leadership books written. They never mutinied. They said, he'll be back.
Amen.
3 months later, he came back to rescue them. They ate the seals. They lived off of the land. They sat on that iceberg. The name of the ship, Endurance. Endurance. Endure hardship. Endure affliction. Endure persecution. Paul says it's not easy.
Amen.
It's not going to be easy.
Amen.
Let's look just for a moment at our example. Well, who's our example of doing this? Well, look in the book of Acts if you like, but the Apostle Paul. Just look in 1 Corinthians 9, 2 Corinthians 9, 11. It's just all these lists. He says, thrice I was beaten with rods. A night and a day I was in the deep, in the water, freezing. He says, I was persecuted. I was stoned. He said, I didn't have enough clothing. I was starving. I was lied about. I was forsaken. I was in prison. Paul said, hey, you want to serve the Lord? Here's what I have to offer. It's tough.
Amen.
I love Brother Bob, the Marine motto. We bet you can't make it. I remember all those ads all the way through there. You're not tough enough. Don't even apply. You know, for someone that's tough, it's like, I'll show you.
Yeah.
And that's how the Christian life is. It's not for sissies.
Amen.
It's not for those who fold under pressure.
Amen.
It's not easy.
Amen.
And let me just say this to married couples, endure.
Amen.
And I'm not saying do not enjoy your marriage. Well, that sounds like, well, I'm enduring you too. That's not what I'm saying. But there's got to be some endurance. You got to get through some tough times. You got to get through the, what do you call it when you first get married? You're getting through your, oh, was it? No, not that. You're getting through, you're learning each other. You're getting through you're getting through transition. You're learning them, and oh, I really never knew this about you, and that's how you are, and I see you. Here's this mood, and this is what, it's a lot of change there. Endure. Tough times come to marriages. Tough situations A parent has to move in. Got to cut back on some bills. We're not working now. We're staying home for a while. No, now we're going back to work. Now we got to add in a few more hours. Or we're cutting the budget. It's endurance.
Amen.
Raising kids is not easy. Endure it. Bear up under the load. Don't fold in. You can make it. God gives grace to parents. He'll give you wisdom. You're a single parent, endure. You can make this thing. You're a teenager living in a wicked day where every type of temptation is thrown at you, endure. You can do this. And let me say to the California citizens that live in our church, which is most of us, hey, endure this state that we live in. Endure the wickedness and the vileness and the direction. God's going to use us as a light. We'll get through this. That's why we're here. The hills are what you climb on. This is what we're here for. Of times I go back to the South, and I love the South. That's where my roots are. But you can't find any lost people there. What Baptist church do you go to? What Baptist church do you go to? Well, my grandma owns a church. My daddy's a deacon. I mean, no one's lost. In California, you can knock on any door within a stone's throw, and they'll say, God, who's that? Hey, we're on the mission field.
Amen.
We have the little sign as you go out the lobby door. We don't read it much. It says you are now entering the mission field.
Amen.
So as we support our missionaries, you are one of them.
Amen.
As you leave and as you're doing business around here, someone told me, Carol, it must have been you. It was you or Stuart or both of you. They said, we go to the end of this marina, and we're always fishing off of Jefferson Street. People always giving us tracks. I met some people that said that this week. I met someone this week or a couple weeks ago. They said, I was at the 4th of July parade and someone gave me one of these. I was in Cordelia yesterday and a college student. He said, someone came by our house here in Cordelia and gave me one of these.
Wow.
No one said it would be easy, but it sure is exciting.
Yeah.
It's exciting. Someone sent me a text yesterday, and it had the set of apartments where the air conditioners come out of the window or the wall, and they had two chickens hanging by a string, just hanging there. Like, we're eating you this afternoon, just hanging by their feet. And the text was, you never know what you're going to see soul winning here. I couldn't top that one. Notice here, please, in Hebrews, we must hasten, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12. And let's notice, not only Paul endured, but our Savior did. Notice what he endured. I want you to see it quickly, and then we'll wrap this thing up. Here we are, Hebrews 12. Notice what it says in verse number 2. Hebrews 12 and verse 2. Twice it's mentioned. Twice. Hebrews 12, 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. So nothing we endure is ever going to equal that. Would you agree?
Amen.
Well, I've got to endure so much. It's being a young person, or it's going through this stage of life. It's this financial situation. It's this health issue. We've never endured what he's endured.
Amen.
But notice what he said about it. Notice how he looked at enduring the cross, despising the shame. Now, the word despise means this: look down on as if nothing. Maybe when you were a little kid, you had some big bully look down on you like you were nothing. You were a nothing. The Bible says when Jesus was on the cross, he despised, or the shame of being beaten, bleeding, laughed at, stripped naked. As all that was going on, he said he despised all of that shame. In other words, he looked at it as if it was nothing.
Wow. Amen.
Because he had you and I on his mind.
Amen.
Oh, dying on the cross? Nothing. Because look who's going to be saved in the future.
Amen.
That's right.
That's what got Jesus through, enduring what he had to endure. I guarantee if we started over here, went all the way back here, and we passed the microphone, everyone in this room is going through something hard. They're handling something hard. They're having to carry something heavy. It's not an easy time. Hardly anybody would say, easiest time of my life. Everything's going great. Every area of my life. Everyone I know is healthy. It is great. And so Jesus endured. Notice something else he endured, verse 3. For consider him that endured such, big word, contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be wearied and faint in your mind. Contradiction. Two parts to the sentence. You ready? Contra means against. Diction, like you're dictating a letter. Diction, speak. Speak against. Let's put it this way. Say one thing, do another thing. Lord, though all men deny you, not me, said Simon Peter. Though all men forsake you, we will not, said all the disciples. So they said one thing and did another. Lord, I'll follow you wherever you go. Well, foxes have holes, birds have a nest, son of man don't have. Okay, leave everything and sell it all and follow me. No, I can't. And here's what he means. Sometimes people are going to say one thing and do another thing. Endure it. People are fickle. Amen. Pastor, I'm never going to miss a church service. Well, see you in a month. Things like that happen. Sometimes we say things and we don't follow through. Sometimes someone's going to say one thing and they're not going to live it. Do not let people stop you from serving the Lord. Amen. People disappointments. If anyone, Jesus on the cross could have said, where's the little boy with the lunch? Where's the 5,000 I fed? Hey, maniac of Gadara, where are you? Where were all the people he influenced when he needed them the most? He could have said, forget all of you. So he had to endure contradiction. Now, let me encourage you. Sometimes there's going to be someone make a decision at camp and they may not follow through. Hey, don't give them a hard time. Amen. They're trying. You know, I'm glad if someone today, who was it? I don't think they're here tonight. They said, Pastor? No, it was maybe yesterday. They said, I was at your church once. I'm thinking once in 36 years. I said, I'm sorry, I don't remember you or remember your name. One time. Little kid rode the bus one time. I rode the bus once. You remember me, Brother Steve? Sometimes people are going to say something and they're not going to live it. Their words are going to be different than their actions. You're going to have to get past it. Everyone you start the Christian life with is not going to finish with you. If you're going to let that stop you from crossing the finish line, you might as well quit right now. You're not going to finish. Hey, we're going to serve the Lord till death. Where are you? What happened to you? There'll be disappointments. Endure it.
Amen.
People change. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, here's the word. Endure. Endure. Let me leave you with these words. I'll start with the letter N. You ready? Enlist. Phonics. Enlist. Christian life starts with enlisting. Paul said, "War a good warfare. Ye are a good soldier of Jesus Christ." We're born soldiers, but it's nice if we enlist. Lord, count me in. Lord, swear me in. I want to be a soldier of yours. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war with the shout of triumph going on before. Enlist. Number two, endear. You'll see throughout Timothy's life, Paul often calls him my son. My son. You know, the greatest place to endear and make godly friends is in a church. You know, at the end of your life, you want to have some buddies, some sisters, some brothers, that you feel like, man, we made some memories together. Paul and Timothy. Everyone needs a Paul, someone to look up to and give advice. And everyone needs a Timothy, someone to disciple and help along the journey. That's why it's so important to come to church. You need to come so people encourage you. And then you need to be here so there's someone you can encourage. Amen. Paul kept saying, my son Timothy. Enlist, another N word. Endear, another N word. Endure, another N word. Encourage. As you're enduring, you need to be encouraging other people that are enduring heavier loads. Everybody's got a burden. Everybody needs some kind words. Every single parent can use words like, you're doing a good job. Man, your kids did great in church today. They only cussed 8 times. I mean, last week was 10 times. Pretty good. They're improving. Everybody needs encouragement. Man, you look sharp. Hey, got a Bible this week. Sunday night, glad you're back. People need encouragement. Someone said the only people that do not need encouragement are those who have ceased to breathe. We all need it. Quickly here, what's the other N word? You ready? Enjoy. 1 Timothy 6, Paul said to Timothy, and enjoy these things. He's saying God has made the food, He's made the planets, He made all these wonderful things, He's made people. Enjoy it. Man, if we're going to be in church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, I want to enjoy coming. Amen. Sometimes I cut up too much, and sometimes my wife will say, do you know what you said? I said, I don't know. Hey, it's the only place I go. I don't go drinking. I don't go to Woodstock. I don't go to concerts. I don't go to nightclub. I don't do those things. So if I'm going to laugh and cut up, it's going to be here. Amen. Encourage. Enjoy. And then end. End. He said, I fought a good fight. I have finish my course. You say, Pastor, what happens if we endure? What do we get out of it? The Bible says, one, happy are they which endure. James 5:11. You'll be a happier person. Those that go through things are happier than those that bail out during things. You want to be a finisher in all that you do. Finish what you start. Finish what you're supposed to do. A finisher. Paul said, I fought a good fight. I finished my course. We'll be happier. Not only that, we'll receive the promises. He says, Hebrews 6:15, after patiently endured, obtained the promises. So what do we do? What can we do to endure? 3 thoughts. We're out of time. Number one, get more knowledge about the subject. The Bible says, Proverbs 24:5, a man of knowledge increaseth strength. So whatever you're enduring, learn everything you can about it. When my wife was in the hospital, I spent some time on my phone. Let me see, biliary damage. Liver, what's the liver do? What's the gallbladder do? What is bile infection? What is sepsis? Man, I was trying to be knowledgeable on all those things. What is scar tissue? What does that do? What are all these things? What about the tears? I was trying to learn all I could. If you're enduring in marriage, I'd read every marriage book that I could. If you're going through some difficult time, find out materials, sermons, books, things you can read on the subject. Number two, fill your mind with joy. Amen. Nehemiah 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. That's going to help you bear up and endure. And then last, believe Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I don't know if I can get through this, Pastor. Oh, yes, you can. God says you can through Christ. Well, I don't know if this will... No, you can make it through Christ. So here's young Timothy. Paul is in chains. He's probably in the Mamertine prison in Rome, not far from the Colosseum. And his advice to young Timothy, endure. What an example. Endure, because I've been doing it. You can do it. Maybe at the end of next week, just say, glory to God, I wasn't beheaded. Hallelujah, they didn't stone me this week. What an easy week. I wasn't put in chains. I wasn't thrown in a dungeon. It's been great. Up in heaven, we'll talk about it a little bit. Maybe we'll see the Apostle Paul and he'll say, how many times did you get stoned with stones? How many times were you in prison for the gospel? Well, But we'll meet all those people. Let's go through it. And God will bless you for it.